Hey everyone, welcome to episode 19 of the Tomo on the Rocks podcast. I'm here with my co-host Jack. How's it going, buddy?
Doing fantastic, man. Great intro.
And it's not just the two of us today. We've also got a special guest, James Palmer. How's it going, James? Welcome to the pod.
You know, just as good as we can be during a global pandemic, but we're getting through it.
Yeah. Coming on a podcast to keep yourself busy.
Oh, exactly. You know, I got tons of things keeping me busy, but it's an honor to come on the podcast.
Love it. You told me you've been listening to a lot of podcasts. Have you been listening to anyone specifically recently? Other than this one, of course.
Tom on the Rocks, of course. Honestly, haven't been too keen on the podcast too much outside of this one. But, you know, obviously, like, the Chicklist podcast. I'm not a huge hockey guy, but, like, I just find those interviews hilarious. Like, he had a really good behind-the-scenes insight into the NHL players and former NHL players. Like, it's absolutely hilarious what they're doing out there.
Yeah. They have some good stories too. Not quite as good as ours. I just want to hear you stroke us off first and then you'll move on to the next comment. So what have you been up to, Jack? Keeping busy since we last came on the mics?
Yeah, kind of just the same thing. Just running through the motions. I wake up, I stretch, I lay back in bed.
Usually when we get on here at the beginning, James, we like to tell like what we're doing, like maybe we stepped outside, went to a concert or something like this, but now it's just like, got out of bed, showered today,
woke up,
washed my hair, and then ate a snack. But yeah, so the beginning is a bit tough because now we have no stories to tell. So what we like to do at the beginning is kind of run through the motions of what you're kind of doing to just keep busy during the quarantine. So we kind of shoot you with a couple quick questions about what you're watching, what you're listening to. So you got any Netflix shows on the go or Amazon Prime Video or whatever your
Hulu
platform is?
Oh man, I of course had to watch The Tiger King. Absolutely yes. Wild. Yes. I couldn't believe it. Like, it's so crazy that it sounds fake.
It's so funny because Jack was like, I want to talk about Tiger King, but I don't know if Jimmy's seen it yet. So we might as well go right into it. Whoever wants to talk about it.
I binged the whole thing like 2 days.
Oh, so it's hard
to watch. Yeah, it's very hard for me, actually. I'm still on episode 5, but I think last time I was like, I don't even get it. I don't get all the hype. I get the hype now. It's cool. That guy is crazy.
Who's your favorite characters?
You gotta go with Big Joe.
That's a good pick.
You like his music? I feel
he's
like it's
good.
Like slightly listenable country. My sister keeps blasting it, and I'm like, is that real? Is that an actual country song?
It's almost not bad. It's weird. Like,
it's not.
I don't
know.
I feel like as long as there's like a good beat, then a song is listenable. Especially like a country song. You know what I mean?
His voice isn't even that bad.
Full on incriminates the girl for killing her husband. That's like a banger.
I know.
That's like a
music video. Questionable.
The music video is great too.
Do you think he's actually singing?
Like, it doesn't sound like.
Do you think it's just a different voice? It could be like knowing him. It could be somebody completely different singing for him. Like he just hired like a country artist.
Okay, so I thought that, and then later in the episodes, in the last one or two, he does like a live singing thing, and like he actually does sound like that.
Oh my god, that's a weird time to have a live singing thing, though.
Yeah,
is that the episode you're talking? We won't say it because
yep.
Jack hasn't seen it that far.
Yeah,
but
that episode.
It's not. It's a very interesting time to get his debut of live music. But you'll know when you hit it, Jack. And anyone listening who's seen it will definitely know what we're talking about.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna live show.
Watch. That scene was one of the. There was a lot of weird scenes to watch, but that one was one of the toughest ones in the whole show. Like, I was just sitting here cringing away.
Just jaw dropped.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Tiger King was really good. I started Schitt's Creek today with my family. It seems like a bit of a family watching show. But other than that, I haven't been watching too much Netflix TV. I've been watching the live TV now that I'm home. So I was ripping the Canadian Family Feud last night and Jeopardy, the College Edition. Me and Jimmy watched a lot of College Edition Jeopardy at school. So it was pretty good. It's weird watching live TV. Like, I literally haven't watched live TV in, like, 5 years consistently. It's pretty good. But any music? Any new drops that you've been liking? I know you're kind of a music guy, Jimmy. Anything you're liking on that front? Are you listening to some old stuff?
Yeah, I've been really into this. I mean, it's not old or anything, but I'm really into this hip-hop artist named JPEG Mafia. Yeah, he's pretty... Yeah, he's pretty experimental. Honestly, a little bit hard to listen to at times, but like once you sort of get into his vibe, I think it's pretty sick.
Jack, you're a big JPEG fan too, aren't you?
I've been into him for a couple of, maybe like a year now. He definitely has a lot of experimental stuff. The songs that are listen toable are very good, but then he'll just have like beats that just sound like he stuck something in a blender and decided to rap over it. But he's very good live too, I've heard.
I agree, definitely. Some of his stuff's hard to listen to, that's for sure. But his new album, All My Hairs Are Cornballs, I think is more palatable than his previous two. So but again, still probably not for everyone, but if you get into it, I think he's actually pretty good, and like, he produces all his stuff, and that's why it's so strange. Like Jack said it to a T, like sometimes it can just sound like you put a bunch of sounds in a blender.
What is it? What is the album called again?
All My
All my
Heroes
heroes
Are
are
Cornballs.
Interesting. You can tell he's gonna be a bit wavy after just listening
He's
to the
very
title
there.
itself.
Yeah.
He has a lot of singles that will catch your eye too.
Yeah.
He's had some funny
Features too? Big features?
No, he kind of just has like a group. There's like a group of rappers, it's like a circle almost that he's in.
Yeah.
Zach Fox is like a guy that has been on a few of his things. He's also kind of out there in his music. Kenny Beats is like a guy he collaborates with. Him and Vince, they've been on a few things too. So he gets some guys.
Nice. So we kind of talked about what's been in our ear and like what we've been watching during the quarantine. Let's talk a bit more about James now that we got that off our chest. For those of you who don't know, I lived with James for 3 years, I guess, at university. So we had a lot of fun there. But now you're actually still at Queens for an extra year at grad school. So let's kind of go into and talk about our school. I don't know if what. Jack, you wanted to talk about what it's like living with me as well, if you have any stories that you want to talk about, and just like the overall your experience at school, if you want to talk about that, and then we can go more specifically into some other things that I want to talk about based off school.
Yeah, sure. So Thomas and I lived together with a bunch of our friends from high school for 3 years. It was a pretty wild time. It was pretty cool too because we all studied different subjects. Like I studied chemistry, and I'm still here for grad school for another 24 months, but out of the lab right now and just sort of doing research on the computer. But yeah, definitely missing the times when we were in undergrad. And it's a lot different, like me being by myself and not living with all the boys. Like we'd always sort of have like the Thursday, Friday, Saturday rips and stuff like that. There's so many stories that we could go through, but it would just take forever. Like, but it was weird because some of my favorite times, like with you guys, and we're just like chilling on the couch. We just like get home from class, and we'd all hang out in the living room for the evening. Just shoot the shit, and that was some of my favorite times for sure. But we get into some specific stories. I'm sure I can elaborate on some.
Oh yeah. That's funny because that makes me think of two points. The first is how weird it would be if we were still at school and we were in this quarantine. Like, we would just be together all the time. First of all, I think we'd be starting to get on our ner each other's nerves with it a bit, I think. It'd be really weird. And I feel like there's still people are like, tr this is a total speculation, but do you think there's still people in undergrad that are trying to like go to other people's houses and shit? Like, or do you think everyone's either gone home or would we stay? Like, what if it happened at the beginning of the school year and we still had to pay our lease? Like, would you want to still hang out for the rest of the school year and like get our shit done all together?
I think it'd be pretty fun. I mean, like, I think what would happen, if you remember during our exam times, all the boys, like, as soon as exam started, we'd be pretty calm, pretty tame. But that's, the later exam season got, we get a little bit delirious, we'd start saying the wildest shit. We'd start just going off the walls a little bit. And it wasn't so much we got on each other's nerves, but we'd just say like the funniest stuff or like the most outlandish stuff. I remember we'd just get almost in a state of delirium. I think that's what would have happened if we were all still living together. It'd be sort of like exam time.
Well, I think that's happening right now with my family. Like, I'm spending so much time at home. Like, when I'm like during a work day, I'll be in my room for 8 hours and I'll get down and they'll be like, are you drunk? Because I'll just be like off the wall, like all excited to actually talk to somebody and like saying the stupidest shit. I feel like that's happening. I don't know if that's just me, but at least I have somebody to talk to. Like it for you, I know you have your roommate there, right? But it would be nice to have people. I know you can talk on the phone, but it's different when you see somebody. And I know you really do like to like, one thing I do remember, whenever you come home, you do like to sit down and have a conversation. So that must be a bit tough, eh?
Yeah, it is here and there. I mean, like I've explained to you guys, my apartment is seriously small, like insanely small. So we don't have like a living room or anything. Let's say like, we're just like chilling in our respective rooms most of the time. Like, you know, we talk and stuff. We're good friends actually, but you know, it's not like we like hang out and like watch movies together or anything like that.
That's good though. At least you have somebody to kind of check in with, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I know Jack's been up to the house a couple times, but it was a ton of fun. I don't know if we want, we'll naturally get into some stories later, but the first thing I kind of wanted to talk about, James, you are really into the arts. I know you studied chemistry, but I know you're really into art. And I noticed kind of, I was just like reflecting and kind of trying to think of what to talk about when we got you on. And I noticed you were really like your life kind of transitioned through school to different like facets of art. So you can totally like tell me I'm wrong. But what I see is you kind of started off first year, you were into photography. Photography was a big thing with you. Then you kind of transitioned into like a different type of like art, you could call it kind of, and like fitness. You started being more into like how you physically look and stuff like that. And then now I kind of noticed you pushing more towards the fashion side. So I kind of saw that like transition of your art. So I just wanted to kind of talk about that a bit, if you're cool with that. And yeah, do you definitely agree?
Yeah,
you agree?
Sure.
That's kind of the same trajectory as...
Yeah, I would definitely say so. Like, I still carry those other mediums with me, but definitely more into, like, the fashion and stuff like that right now.
Would you say you just get, like, kind of sick of one and you want to move on to the other? Or it's just you kind of try to follow the trends or set the trends?
I think it's just, like, a natural evolution, to be honest. Like, when I was in first year, like, and doing photography, like, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I would just take pictures of whatever and then... I mean, like, I was always, like, an athlete growing up, so, like, the fitness was always there, so, like, that was just another thing. That took up a lot of my time in, like, the later portions of the undergrad, but now I can sort of just sit down and reflect a lot and see what I actually like to, like, photograph and be creative with, and it seems, like, to be fashion. Like, I've always, like, liked to dress nicer, but I've kind of really, like, tuned into my style recently, I would say, in the past year.
For sure. JamesP.photo on Instagram. Some cool photos on there I was looking at. It's kind of funny to see back on like the older ones you took and yeah, seeing like the different areas around campus that I remember. I was just kind of scrolling through them a couple minutes ago. So that's some cool photos on there. I don't know if you're, are you still posting on there?
I try when I can, but I'm really trying to have more like directions with photo shoots, and it's hard to get out there, especially like during this quarantine. I might have a ton of ideas, but executing them in these conditions right now is kind of impossible. I don't have some in the deck, but you know, I want to have some direction with what I post these days, as opposed to just posting for the sake of posting.
So how do you like start a photo shoot? Like, will you usually do it for some sort of, like, I know you did for example in the fashion, you did a fashion type photo shoot. You want to talk about that? Was it with one of the school magazines or whatnot? And I just want to hear like from the beginning to the end how that works. Like, do they like throw models at you, or do you have to like reach out to people who you think could, like, I mean, not like
not the models, like, just come to him, I think.
Yeah. I just find that such an interesting process, and I would want to hear more about how, like,
yeah,
you created that article.
Yeah, sure. So as I said, I kind of got more into fashion this year, so I decided to sort of join the fashion club at Queens, and they said, like, hey, like, we're looking for people to, like, write articles and stuff like that. You can be whatever you want as long as it's, like, related to fashion. So I was like, I might as well get involved and I'll write a little article. But I didn't want to just write the article. I wanted to style a lookbook. So I actually didn't do the photography for that. I was more the did the creative direction for it.
Okay.
So, yeah, I pretty much gave everybody sort of, like, a style guide and a mood board as to what I wanted to see. And people... And then just sort of posted in the Facebook group, like, hey, I'm doing this lookbook. If you want to participate, just let me know. And so I got a ton of messages, actually. I was surprised, to be honest. And yeah, we just set it up. And, you know, some people are like, hey, I know this couple people that they have great style. I was doing a streetwear lookbook, so they're like, yeah, they have great streetwear style. So I'm like, yeah, yeah, bring them out. And so we scouted out a location, planned a day. I had this like couple huge luggages of clothes, shoes, accessories, stuff like that, and people brought their own stuff. And yeah, we sort of executed that, and then yeah, I just wanted to sort of share some insight as to what I think streetwear is and how you can style that. It was cool. It was a pretty fun process, actually, and that's sort of what gave me more inspiration to have some more creative direction in like the shoots I do, and sort of just go with some sort of theme. Like I do have a lot. I have a couple shoots that I sort of want to compile into a larger book, but we'll see what happens there.
That's cool. I know, Jack, you kind of wanted to talk about shoes. I know you guys kind of have that in common. So I don't know if you have any questions about Jimmy with maybe the latest shoe drops or any questions you have for him there, because I know you guys, knowing you both pretty well, you both have a common passion for shoes.
Well, I was going to touch on like recent purchases, but now I've just realized that like you can't really do that anymore. I've tried for the past like 6 Jordan 1 drops. I've tried for, like, 2 Yeezy drops. I can't get into anything. I don't even know if I want shit shipped to me anymore.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tough. When I was just throwing things into the notes, I was just like, oh, we like shoes. But then I'm like, fuck, can't really do anything anymore.
Yeah, I still do a lot of the online browsing, trying to find some deals. I'm really looking for a pair of ones right now, but
it's tough right up there. I'm
Yeah. Like I'm more into
there's some good ones in July I've seen, but that's what I'm trying for. But fuck, I don't know. Hopefully this shit clears out by then, or at least we get a better grasp on it so I can go back to buying shoes like a degenerate.
Yeah, like it's hard out there, you know, scoping out the StockX, and you're seeing the retail 2 or 3 times the retail it was. And it's like, you know, you're paying like $700 for a pair of ones, and it's like, kill me out here on this student budget.
Then they hit you with the taxes too, and then you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I've been hit with that once. I remember buying like 2 pairs, and then all of a sudden I take the boxes from the delivery person, and then he just keeps lingering. I'm like, the fuck are you waiting for, a tip? And he's like, actually, yes, you owe me $70 in duties. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, very similar story happened to me. Back when we were in school, I ordered this pair of Jordans, my personal favorite pair of Jordans, but a lot of people would say they're the ugliest Jordans ever exist, the Jordan 15s. And so I bought them off StockX, and I was like, oh yeah, decent deal. But then like the US conversion, then I got dinged $65 for duties, and then the shoes ended up being like $350. So
it's funny because they include duties on like one of the subcharges when you pay for it, and you're like, okay, I'm covered here, like this is the set price. And then you get there, they arrive at the door, and you see the slip. Even if it's Canadian postage slip, I'm like, okay, I'm probably fine. And then you roll up there, and they're like, okay, are you paying cash or credit? I'm like, paying for what? I already paid. It's the worst.
Yeah, well, DHL is like what usually like when you buy off GOAT, or if you buy off StockX, which are like just the biggest sites, they'll send a DHL guy, and they don't fucking tell you until they get to the door. And it's just like, warn me or something.
Packs.
Some of them don't even have credit. Some of them don't even have debit card machines. They expect you to have the fucking exact change, exact cash. Like, what do you want me to do? Get out of here.
What's each of your favorite shoe in your repertoire?
Yeah, my favorite shoe. I mean, I did say like the Jordan 15 is my favorite shoe of all time. Jordan wise, I mean, besides the one, like the one that I own. It's got to be between that that 15 I have or my white cement 4s. I'm a big fan of the 4s, especially the white cements. Nice.
I would probably say the Game Royal 1s, or I just bought the Day of the Dead Cortezes, and those are very comfortable. Okay. They give me there's a little like the midsole on is pretty thick, so it gives me a little height advantage too, so a little confidence boost when I'm walking around. When the bars open up again, watch out for almost 6 foot me.
Funny story about sort of Nike Cortezes, actually. I had a pair, and we actually thrifted them. A lot of the guys and I, you know, back and forth, third and fourth year, we were really into the thrifting. We did find a pair of Cortez, and you know, one of the guys is nice enough to give them to me because they fit me. And I actually ended up bringing them to Europe. I ended up traveling to Europe for a couple months in the summer. And I wore them so much. And, like, I sweat, my feet got so sweaty in them that they were just unbearably smelly. I had to toss them. I had to toss them in Europe. A sad day. They're somewhere in a dumpster in Switzerland.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Love those shoes, though. Like, I They're really great. Like getting out of there.
Yeah. They're very comfortable.
We'll definitely talk about the trip later on in the pod. I got that on the radar. Any certain trends you see coming with shoes now, James? I know you're always looking ahead, and same with you, Jack. Anything you're excited for in the future, or kind of where you'd go if you were kind of like a shoe designer?
I can't wait for Earth Tones to go away. I think it is that trend's starting to go right now. I think there's like two more Travis Scott releases coming out that are all brown. once that style eye popping color dies out, I think we'll start. I think especially when summer coming back, I think colors will start. I think Yeezy's now starting to come out with more out there tones and kind of like the I like when things like when Nike always drops like the what does. I love that because like it's just like a blend of like whatever color, and they're always like some good eye popping color. And that's I can't wait for that to come back.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I was just sort of looking at some of the spring and summer collections of a couple designers, and I mean the chunky shoe still in like
that's still going to
like the Raf Simon Adidas collab, the Oswegos, those are still in. I'm not gonna lie, I kind of like them, but you there, know there yeah are like the triple S's pass, yeah the triple S's are still in, stuff like that. But I'm hoping that, you know, we can go with I've been seeing a lot of black shoes, especially you know, and playing with different materials. That's definitely going to be a thing, I think, in the future. Near future. Hopefully, you know, some more black shoes and playing with some different materials. You'll see a lot of that, I think, coming up in shoes and fashion.
Nice. Any other shoe talk you got there, Jack, on your radar, or you want to move on?
No, I think we can move on.
Yeah. So I know we kind of talked on the fashion side and the photography side, James. Let's kind of push it back to the fitness side. So you were always kind of started working out maybe first year or before that, maybe in high school. But you really got into it so much so that you started powerlifting, and you also created a club at Queens called QPOW. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, kind
of the
yeah,
origin
sure.
story of it, and like why you wanted to start that at the school? Because I know not a lot of people can say they created their own organization or club.
Yeah, definitely. So I started sort of like going to the gym after like the grade 12 basketball season. Like I knew I wasn't going to play college ball or anything. So I, you know, I was like, might as well just, you know, start screwing around at the gym. No idea what I was doing for like the first like year, at least, like just brutalizing. Like people in the gym must have thought I was like an absolute idiot. And, so actually I started getting into powerlifting because of YouTube, actually. Shout outs, you know, Barbell Brigade and Silent Mike, sort of those YouTubers got me into sort of powerlifting, like the scientifics behind lifting and stuff like that. And so I thought, you know, powerlifting was fun because it's like goal based, like you can really see a goal when it happens because you can hit a number. And for those of you who don't know what powerlifting is, it's your maximum weight in the one repetition in the squat, the bench press, and the deadlift. And so I ended up actually starting the club near the end of my second year in university. And it was funny because to this day I'm still a shit powerlifter, but the reason why I started it, and with one of our housemates, Jack, shout outs Jack, was because I actually wanted to learn a little bit more about the sport and surround myself with some people who were pretty knowledgeable in it and passionate about it. Because what a lot of people don't know about powerlifting is that it's actually pretty communal. Like it's a big social thing too. A lot of people find a big camaraderie in the gym with that. And I think it's a lot easier to sort of train and do this hard training when you have people around you that like support what you're doing and like, you know, always encouraging you. You know, you can always ask someone for a spot and stuff like that. So it was a good run until the end of our undergrad. Jack and I along with another one of our housemates, Nigel, and a bunch of other people, organized a club for that for those few years, and now it's still going to this day, but not a part of it, even though I'm still at Queens. But I wish the club luck in the future, because it was a labor for sure, because the school wasn't exactly super supportive of our club, but we've managed to keep afloat so far.
That's awesome. Was it kind of cool? Was it like almost starting your own company, kind of like similar? You got to sign up for a bunch of different things, and like, not like the school is a government, but you got to kind of meet certain criteria. So that was probably pretty tough, right?
Yeah, in that sense, especially like there's obviously like a big like sort of, for lack of a better word, stigma against like lifting, and that it can cause really, really acute injuries. So the school was really, really wary about that kind of stuff. And we had a very, very hard time to sort of establish ourselves in the school. So yeah, in that sense, like there's a lot of regulations we had to follow and still have to follow. And yeah, so it's, I would say it's kind of similar to starting a company in that sense.
Who came up with the name? Because I think it's brilliant. And what does it stand for?
So that stands for the Queens Powerlifting and Olympic Weightlifting Club.
It literally couldn't have worked out more perfect. I don't know, whoever thought of it. Was it you?
Yeah, myself or Jack, I think. It was it was just sort of an out of the blue thing. We were just sort of getting into lifting. We were always lifting together. And then, we're just like, let's start it. And Q-Pow just sort of rolled off the tongue easily.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, yeah. I guess there's like a lot of Q something a lot, like Queens blank, but like I just thought that one's pretty cool and kind of fit the brand. You have any questions on the kind of the fitness side, Jack? I know I'm definitely not the one who's going to be leading the way in the fitness questions. You're probably the one who can take the torch if you have any questions about Jimmy. How are you guys staying fit during the quarantine? Is it tough?
I would say so far it's tough. I just went outside for the first time yesterday and walked around the block, and then I was crawling back home.
Puffing and puffing.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So I have a couple resistance bands that I've been sort of doing some resistance training with. But right recently, I've been sort of getting into the running. Never thought I'd say that again. But, I'm not some sort of crazy runner running like, half marathons or anything. Like, I'm running like 2K and I'm like pretty tired. I'm just sort of trying to establish a good routine, but 2K, 2.5K is sort of what I'm working with right now, but hopefully we can get up to a nice little 10K by the end of this. We'll see.
It is a good time to kind of like pick up something like that, you know what I mean? Like, so many people have time on their hands, and obviously it's not like you can go outside and like it cuts off a lot of things you can do, but if you have a hobby or something that you can craft at home, it's literally the perfect time to do it with all the time on our hands. I don't know, anything else you guys are trying to pick up during the quarantine? Anyone trying to learn the guitar?
That's like so that? Weird I am.
Oh, really? I swear to God, I didn't even know that.
I decided to get back into that. Yeah, I know. Well, I have nothing else to do. I've been doing that, and I've been trying to teach myself how to, like, make beats and shit on, like, FL Studio. And that's been going. They're all sounding like JPEGs, unlistenable stuff right now. So call back. Hey, I made a distorted microwave sound and then put some French horns above that. And probably going to drop a mixtape soon.
Looking forward to it. What I want to do, but I don't really have the resources right now, because shipping and stuff is kind of tight. I actually kind of want to get into sewing. Back to the fashion thing. Kind of a funny story. There's a site called Depop where you can sort of sell your clothes. And so I was buying this rain jacket. It was this designer rain jacket by Vetema. And I got it. And I look at it and I'm like, motherfucker, this is fake. Like, the guy sent me a fake jacket. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to sew over everything in 3M. So it's like reflective, because the black rain jacket. And I think that's what I kind of want to do. So that's sort of going back to fashion. I want to sort of get into a bit more fashion design as well. So sewing would be pretty cool to take up, I think.
That's cool. That actually is cool. It makes sense for you as well. A little relaxing too, to keep you sane during these times as well.
Just get a needle through the finger. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
Won't want to go to the hospital.
Yeah. What about you, Thomas?
I don't know. Keeping this going. I'm trying to do like a like learning. I don't know. I feel like I haven't learned anything since I left school. So I've been trying to like just searching like tutorials. I really want to learn Photoshop. I haven't got around to it yet, but I'm going to try to teach myself on YouTube how to use Photoshop. And I guess Illustrator along that line. Just, I don't, not really edit photos, but just kind of create like nice display. Like if I want to post something cool on Instagram, I want to be able to like distort an image and then maybe create some like text around it that actually looks nice and not like some of the shit that's posted before that's just like a text box over a picture. Like I want to learn how to like create some nice style and design. So that's kind of my goal. Haven't got around to it. I have a friend I work with named Ben. He actually like is trying to, he's been sending me some tutorials and stuff like that. And he was kind of showing me at work before we obviously had to start working from home. So I'm hoping I can start to watch those tutorials soon. I deleted Photoshop because the money's tight right now. So I don't want to be like spending whatever, $25 a month, but I'm going to try to learn and watch some videos. And then when I've got some skills, I'm going to obviously download it back and start practicing. But yeah, that's kind of my goal right now, I'd say. I just like feel like I don't want to waste this time. Like I feel like there's so much time. And I think this is like this common perception that people are having. And I see everyone's Instagram stories say like, don't feel like you have to do something, but I still do. It's not that I have to. I feel like I want to take advantage of the time. I don't know about how you guys feel about that, but that's my mindset.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. It's a time where, you know, most people have a bit of free time on their hands, so you might as well pick something up that you've wanted to do for a while.
Exactly. We kind of talked about the art side. I think we've touched on that quite a bit. Any other things you want to talk about that, Jimmy? Any other art side topics that you wanted to talk about?
I think we've pretty much covered the bases, I think. I think we're all good there, unless you guys have any questions. But
I'm good. I'm ready to move on, if you Let's are, do it. To... Yeah. It's still on the school side. I just want to hear about the transition from like a bachelor's level to grad school. Because I think a lot of people our age and a lot of people who may be listening are our age and our friends haven't gone to grad school. So I just want to see how your transition has been and how it's gone. And then to kind of follow up with that, if you're finding it a lot more difficult, because it seems like our perception is that it's like supposed to be 100 times harder and like some people may be a bit scared to go into it. So if you can talk on that a bit.
Yeah, definitely. So for me, so I'm doing a chemistry master's degree, and it's a research-based degree. So basically, we don't have a lot of class, and we're mostly in the lab doing science experiments. Like, we're those nerds that you hear in the newspaper that scientists discovered this. Like, that's me now. So
find a vaccine for us.
Yeah, it's nice, though, because when you're in a research-based degree, you get paid to go to school, actually. So that's a big difference between the undergrad and the grad school. I mean, you know, it's not a lot of money at all, but we get by. So, yeah, it was definitely a big transition for me, especially because I actually didn't have a very good GPA. In undergrad, I was pretty lucky in the sense that we had to do a fourth year research project, and I got in a research group, and I asked my supervisor, hey, would you be interested in taking me on for a master's degree? And he'd be like, yeah, sure. And so, you know, one thing leads to another, and I ended up getting in, and I'm here now. So sort of the biggest difference about undergrad is and grad school for me is that you get up when you're undergrad, you get up, you know, right before class or whatever. And, you know, you go to class all day, maybe you go home for lunch for a bit. But for me, grad school is a bit more like a job. You're expected to be in the lab from 9 to 5. You take your lunch whenever you can, and then we have to do TAing, which is being a teaching assistant. And that's like one of the things that have definitely been the most interesting so far. I think I've told Thomas a couple stories about it, but so basically, you know, you're either in the lab conducting experiments for second or third year students, or you're in a tutorial, which is sort of like a small lecture and an assignment, and you run a little lecture and then you give them an assignment, you make sure they understand the assignment and stuff like that. So that's been pretty interesting so far, and I've really liked the experience, honestly. It's been a lot easier than undergrad. It's a lot more lax. I mean, there's the stress of like you have to perform in your research, but besides that, there's like not really exams. You have a couple chill exams, stuff like that. And it's like they pretty much hand you A's in the grad school classes. I'm not gonna lie, I have got 4.2 GPA, not a big deal.
It's about double of when you're going to school with us, because of all our distractions, right?
We're getting there.
What's it like marking? And like, is that weird? I think marking is the most ambiguous, and like maybe not as much for you, but for example, for like an English degree, maybe it's like, if you know the student, are you not going to have some sort of favoritism? Obviously you have to keep it professional. I don't know how much you want to talk about, but it's such a weird concept, marking. And I don't know, is yours pretty cut and clear? Like answers are right if they're right, or is it kind of,
it depends. So for lab reports, it can definitely be a little bit ambiguous, but because, you know, I've been doing this for a while, I know the difference between a good lab report and a bad lab report. Right. So, and I'm not going to lie, like, there are certain students you like better than others, but you got to put that aside at times. Generally, all my students have been great, but it can get ambiguous, and you just should know what the difference between a good lab report and a bad lab report is.
Any students kissing your ass the whole time, try to get better marks, or no? Any gifts?
So, you know, you always kind of get the accidental match on Tinder there with the students. And, you know, a couple awkward times, I didn't really mean to swipe right. And, you know, got a couple messages about marking and stuff like that. But we won't get into the details of that one.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, so you've been doing good, though. Your research is going pretty well. Is it kind of, so you said it was kind of at a standstill now, maybe, because you can't go in the lab. Is that true?
Yeah, it is at a standstill right now, but I was sort of in a time where I was approaching the end of a research project. So we just have to sort of get the final results, and maybe we can publish a paper out of it. But right now I'm still keeping busy because I'm doing a literature review. So that's basically, you're looking through the scientific journals and you're finding interesting molecules and the chemistry that you're interested in, and so I'm just taking notes about that. I'm trying to prepare for the new PhD student coming in as well to our research group in the fall, so I'm supposed to sort of give him some ideas. We'll see how that goes. He's probably way smarter than I am.
That's who you want on your team. You want your team to have, your whole team to be smarter than you. So anything there, Jack? Any questions about teaching? Any deep chemistry questions you want to ask James right now?
On the periodic scales,
no, I have nothing.
Okay, I guess we'll pop in with the big question. So you're kind of taking this chemistry degree. What is your goal after your two years of grad school, I believe? Do you have a goal after, or are you just kind of going with the flow? Are you going to be like a professor? Is that the goal, or what are you thinking?
So I am not 100% sure what I want to do, which is kind of funny, but I really did like chemistry, and the opportunity to contribute something to science is, I think, something I shouldn't pass up. But I'm honestly, you know, since TA, been pretty interested in teaching. I'd like to teach sort of at the post-secondary level, but that usually requires a PhD. And I don't know if I can get sucked into doing another 4 years after this. So there's a lot of smaller sort of undergrad only schools that there are professors where they only have master's degrees. So I'd be really interested in doing that, or getting into business as well.
So you want to go into the business side too? That interests you?
Yeah.
Like entrepreneurship type stuff?
Yeah, or? that or management as well. I think I've gained some skills in terms of leadership over the past few years, and I think I'd be well suited into one of those positions. So something like that as well in the future, I think I would really like to do.
Nice. So you kind of, we talked about grad school. So in between our bachelor's level, you got to go on a summer away to Europe. That's something we had in common. Unfortunately, we didn't go together, which is a bit of a lapse in judgment. But we kind of went to some similar places. So I don't know if you want to kind of, classic question we start off is like, what was your favorite spot you hit? And if you have any stories along with that spot and why you like it.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Kind of just give us like a whole general. I know you went to a bunch of places, but just like your trip timeline.
Yeah, sure. So I went with one of the other guys. We lived with Nigel for 2 months. We sort of left right after Canada Day, and we got back I think the week before September, so a couple of days before September, and so we flew out to Halifax first, actually, and then we took a plane to London. We went to Paris and Antwerp, Belgium, Amsterdam, Switzerland. We went all over Germany. Then we went to, it's hard to remember, honestly. Went to so
it
many
is,
places.
It truly is. If I would have asked that question, I would have no idea what to say.
Yeah, I think we went to Prague, Vienna, Budapest after that. And we took a plane over to Nice. And then we went to Milan and flew home. So it was pretty like, big trip.
It's pretty tough to remember, but I'll list off every single one in the exact order that it went. So which one was your favorite then? Do you have one? Or maybe your least favorite to follow up.
It's a tough one. I really liked Amsterdam. It was an absolute time. We only stayed there for 2 nights, but we were jam-packed the whole time. Like, we had no downtime. And, like, the nightlife there is absolutely wild. So, like, it's that's definitely one of the top places, I would say. I know on the past podcast, some of the boys said Switzerland. And we went to actually the same town. I know that. And it was absolutely beautiful. We did hiking instead of the climbing, but the views, man, were insane. So Switzerland, I must say, was very beautiful. It's an interesting country too, politically.
You really
got to
push your penny there too, as well. Yeah. It's quite expensive, but it made for an experience, kind of like going to the grocery store and picking up the bare essentials. I guess you kind of do that the whole trip because it's an expensive trip, but especially there, it's like you're eating soup in a cup, really. And it's still $10 for the meal.
Exactly. And then I would have to say both places I went to in France. Like, I went to a French school growing up, and all our teachers would say, like, especially Nice, like, I went to Paris too, and that was amazing, and it was definitely one of my favorite places. But Nice especially, our teachers would always say, you got to go to the south of France, like, it's super beautiful. And, like, yeah, it was everything like they sort of described it to be. The weather was amazing, beaches were amazing, like, being on, like, the French Riviera, it was insane. Yeah,
nice. Any cool hot, or I'm not gonna say cool, any bad, any crazy hostel stories? Because I know you guys stayed in a lot of hostels, and that was something we did. Do you have any funny stories from staying in the hostels?
So kind of a funny story, actually, was when we were in London. So the very first place we went to, our very first hostel ever, actually. It's funny because I liked London, but I really, really, really want to go back because it's such a big city, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a big fashion hub too, but so anyways,
it's like European Toronto almost.
yeah getting into London, we booked this one hostel, like, it was an okay price, and like, it was a great location and stuff like that. And we got there, and like, it's a bit weird, and we booked like the cheapest room, and they're like, oh yeah, it should be ready in a bit. And this was supposed to be a youth hostel, 18 to 35 only.
Yeah.
And so we get into this one room, it's like 22 people, and it smells fucking nasty. Like, and we're like, oh, let's maybe like see if we can change rooms or something like that. And so we're like, hey, yeah, is it okay if we like change rooms and stuff? You know, we're just like not super into like the huge room because it smells a little
smell?
Bit. Yeah. And so we're like, yeah, we'll change it to like a 10-person room. So we're like, yeah, sure. Like, we're like crossing our fingers, hoping there's some cool people in there. We get in there, and I shit you not, there was nobody besides Nigel and I that were under the age of 40. Like, there was literally a guy who was there. I swear he was 75, and he was, like, literally there to die. Like, he'd literally sleep like one of those mummies, like, hands crossed over his chest on his back. And you'd be, like, laying down in the middle of the night, and you'd hear, like, from this guy who, like, oh my god, what's going on?
If you think about it though, 30 days, $10 a day, it's only $300. Like, that's cheaper than rent in most places.
Oh yeah, no, they were fully people living out of that room. Like, the guy who was below me, like, he would sleep all day, and then he'd like leave all night because to go work or something, because he'd like be in like a suit or something. And then like, and also funny, the night before we left, I was on my phone, or it was the afternoon, and we were like just chilling in between the activities. And I ended up, there was no plugs, like, on the top. I was on the top bunk, and there's no plugs. And this random guy below me, who's, yeah, like 45 and working, he's like zonked, like KO'd. And my like little battery pack charger falls like into his bed. And this guy's like asleep. And like we're like about to leave. And I like climb down and I'm like, I go into his bunk and I like look over and like I see him. And I'm like trying to reach for it. I'm like, I can't do it. So we like fuck off for a little bit and then like I go back and he's still asleep. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. And but eventually we did get the thing out of there when he woke up. I was just like, hey, buddy, like my charger fell into your bed. Is it all right if I snoop through your bed a little bit and go
find my charger? Phone on it.
That was pretty interesting. That was I would say a nightmare hostel situation. Like it was just dirty and the people were just strange and I don't know. But every other hostel we stayed in was really, really great experience.
The weird thing about hostels is you roll in there and you know how many people are gonna be there. But you know how many beds there are, but you don't know how many people are going to be there and when they're going to get there. So yeah. Multiple nights we'd go there and there'd be no one. Then we go out, get some beers, go out. And then we get home and there's like 10 people in the room now. And I'm like, where do these people come from? So there's some funny stories where like a couple of our buddies roll into the room and we're like, oh, we're all yelling. We're kind of buzzed still. And then we got the flashlights out, seeing if anyone's there. And then there'll actually be people there. It's like so stupid of us. So like, one of our buddies flashed the light. There's this fucking person just sitting there staring right into the flashlight. And it's like, oh, my God. Terrifying. You just go to bed. And then, like, our buddy Matt's just sitting there ripping toots all night at, like, 4 in the morning. We're all trying not to laugh. It's just such a weird situation. Also, like, one time we rolled in there into, like, a 5 or 6 person. So I was with myself included 4 people. And the other 2 girls, they're, like, 14 years old. And, like, we're going out and shit, right? Like, in the hostel room, and then we come back, we're kind of loud, and I'm like, this is probably scary to have 5, like, older dudes, like, roll in there drunk at the end of the night. Like, not like we're nice guys, luckily, but, like, I just thought that was kind of a weird one. Another one is, like, we go out, we get home at, like, 4 o'clock, because everything's a little later there, right? You stay out a little later. We're like, oh, we have water, a couple people pop an Advil, and we go to bed. And we hear, like, we don't hear anything until like 5 or 6 or 7 in the morning. And there's these 2 chicks rolling in and they're like even later than us. So we feel like grandpas, but it's just weird to see that like people can literally roll into your bedroom at any time of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Couple weird pukes. Do you have any puke stories? It's gross. But one girl, one night before our flight, she was puke. No, it was before our bus ride. She was puking all night, extremely loud, kept us all up. We're like texting each other, like, what the fuck? And then in the morning we get up and we're all trying to get our bus for 8 a.m. But she's in the bathroom puking and we can't go and get changed. And we finally get in there. We snag the bathroom. We're kind of all brushing our teeth together. We go down to the bus and sure as shit, we're waiting for our bus and she's rolling up with her fucking suitcase looking like death. Gets on the back of the bus. Luckily, she didn't do anything on the bus, but that was a wicked story.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Yeah, not too many puking stories, but we had a couple sleep apnea people who were in our rooms before, and that was pretty disturbing at some times. You know, you'd be like in a deep sleep, and this dude rolled in like pretty late. Like we all had a late night. We were at this one hostel, and pretty much everyone in our room was just like, we were all getting liquored. We went to this one bar, and we rolled in pretty late, but like this one guy and this girl who are also in a room, they roll in like super late. This guy's like, you know, he's like one of those dudes that definitely has sleep apnea. Like you, when you look at him, you can tell he's got sleep apnea.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And and so you know, I was like fast asleep, like, and then out of nowhere, you hear like the loudest snoring, and it's like people with sleep apnea, they don't like have like a cadence they're snoring. It's like really sporadic, so it's like, you know, it would stop for like 2 minutes. You're like, okay, nice. I can go back to sleep and stuff. That out of the blue, you just hear like, oh, like, whoa, I can't even replicate the sounds. I think I'd like choke on myself. But yeah, it's that was pretty wild. That one.
We had one funny story. I don't even know if you guys would find it funny, but fuck it, I'll say it. We were in Prague in a pretty big, maybe like 8-person, 10-person hostel. And there's this one guy from Mexico, and we started chatting with him. And you know, when there's one person, you're like, you kind of feel obliged to ask them out. You're trying to meet people. So he came out with us, went for dinner. And you know, when you kind of get warning signs, like we hadn't eaten and then we grabbed a beer and he's like, he's getting a he's like, oh, I'm feeling a little tipsy. And I'm like, you only had one pint, man. Like, that's kind of weird. But we kind of blew it off. He's like, he hadn't eaten yet. And then we got going. We had some drinks somewhere else, and we went to a club. And this guy, like, he was good. He was, like, a big guy, so he could take a lot of liquor. And then he actually met up with some guys that I think he was going to hang out with. And, like, we're not his babysitter. We're like, okay, we'll see you later, blah, blah, blah. We'd had a lot of pints at that time. We were just, like, handed this guy off. We went back home. We weren't going to stay out too late. I think we were going home in the next couple of days. So we're like, maybe we'll head back earlier tonight. So we get there. We're sleeping. And we don't hear, you don't really hear people. Oh, or I can't even remember. He might not have even been there when we woke up and went out. But then we came back and this guy was there and he legitimately laid in the same position for like 24 hours straight the next day. I think he was like hungover or like, I don't know if he got into some drugs. He was just laying and he was laying in a position that you would literally think he was like dead. And we're like, do you like tap the guy and be like, hey, you good? Do you need a water? Do you need like an Advil or something? And we'd go out in the morning, obviously go do some tourist sites, come back before dinner. He's just laying in the same spot. Eventually, on the last minute before we were leaving, Glenn goes up and he's sitting up and it's kind of awkward. Like, he's not talking. It's like he's mad at us for like going out with him. And then Glenn's like, I hope the hangover wears off. And Buddy's like, it wasn't a hangover. And just says that. And then freaking Glenn just panics and he just leaves and we go and get on our bus and we never know what he was talking about. What that, like, not a hangover was. I don't know, maybe he got into some drugs or something like that, but, like, oh, that was, I thought that was a pretty funny story. The poor guy was just laying in bed the whole day. No idea what he got up to that night when we left, but it must have been not very good, whatever it was.
It's a bit strange.
So we talked about a couple of those stupid hostel stories, kind of funny hostel stories. Did you go? I know you're into the art. Did you go to any good museums? Any, like, what were the cool sights you saw? Do you have any questions or any thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, we did like the classic London stuff, but I think like for me, the highlight in terms of museums and stuff like that was in Paris. So we were really lucky in the sense that I think every first Friday or every Friday after 6 p.m., people under 26 can get into the Louvre for free. We ended up getting to Paris on a Friday. And then we are not a Friday, but the long story before that, get into, but we ended up just timing it perfectly. We stayed in Airbnb and we got into Airbnb like Friday afternoon and we just strolled down to the Louvre, popped in line. We were like, you know, 30 people from the front and we got in super fast and that was pretty sweet. But the modern art museum in Paris called the Centre Pompidou. That's where the Tinker Hatfield got his inspiration for the Air Max 1.
Oh, that's cool.
That was probably my favorite museum. It was amazing. Like, they had a Dora Maar exhibit on, and she was like sort of Picasso's protege, per se. And so that was amazing, I thought. Yeah.
That's cool. So do you have plans where, I know obviously it's not like we can throw money at trips all the time. Do you have a place you want to go next, maybe outside of Europe after you graduate? Do you have any plans or maybe any dreams of traveling anywhere else?
Yeah. So in terms of like some small trips, I'd even like to do just around here. I'd really like to go to New York City for a little bit. I know you went down pretty recently, but you know, hopefully when this whole thing blows over, a quick roadie down to New York City from Kingston, it's only like 6-7 hour drive.
Yeah.
So it's not too bad. And then, you know, I definitely like to go back to London and Paris, like some of the big places in Europe. But, you know, my mom was born in Hong Kong, so I'd really like to visit sort of where she was born and stuff like that, where my grandparents grew up. So I think that would be a big place to go out there. And like Japan, too, because, you know, they have a huge fashion culture and, you know, it's an insane city, like Tokyo itself.
I'd love to go to Tokyo. It's on the top of my list, too.
Yeah. So those would be some of the top places outside of sort of North America, Hong Kong and Japan, Tokyo.
What excites you about New York? Like, what are there any specific things you want to see there, or just the fashion side?
I went when I was 14, and I mean the sights are amazing, and even like the infrastructure of the city is so interesting. It's really easy to navigate. I think that's a super interesting facet of the city. There's tons of sights, and obviously like the vintage shopping is huge out there, and then like the luxury shopping is insane out there. So, and they have Flight Club too. Like, I went to Flight Club.
God,
I'd love to go back out there to pick a pair of Jordans or something like that. as well. Oh, yeah. Mostly for fashion and photography as well. I'd really like to go out there for that.
I think I was there for 5 days, and it was like a good trip. Like I easily could have stayed for a week. Like there's so much more I wanted to see, but like obviously like money pending, we decided to go for 5 days, and it was just the perfect, like so much to do there. We ended up, I know Jack, we haven't talked about it on the pod, went to the Comedy Cellar, which I know would be huge for you. That's probably somewhere you want to go. Saw it.
It's a big spot. I love that. Yeah.
What's his name? Dave Attell?
Is that Dave Attell? Yeah.
Yeah. So he was on. He was so hilarious. It was like, I love that so much. It was such a surreal experience. And then we were kind of pissed off. I was grumpy that night. I'll admit it. My girlfriend would too, because we missed the first show. So I was pouting a bit. So we went and grabbed a drink somewhere else. But on the way back, we went to the back and we're like, oh, there's no line at this like Comedy Cellar entrance. And we were talking to the security guard. We're like, oh, what time do we line up here for the show? She's like, it's at midnight around the corner. And we turn around and there's Tracy Morgan sitting right there. And we're both like, we're looking him in the eyes. We didn't say anything. Like, what are you going to say? Like, he just got Tracy right in and his buddy. I was like, holy shit. It's so cool. And, like, we also saw Jim Treliving just walking in the streets of New York. Like, it's just, it's the things that just happen, like, for people who live in New York, it's just normal to see celebrities. Mm-hmm, and we just, like, don't even have a sniff of that from kind of being from around here. But, yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. I think you'd love New York, Jack. I think
I've been in New York.
You have? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you go to the States all the time. When? Yeah, how recent?
Oh, yeah. It was, like, when I was, like, 13 or 14. Oh, from what I remember, it was really cool. And we also stayed in the worst area ever. We were literally, we had tickets to, me and my dad, my brother had tickets to a Yankee. And we start walking towards this Yankee game. It's me. I'm in like cargo shorts and like a Spider-Man t-shirt. My dad's in like a bucket hat before they were cool. This dude fully walks up, because we're in like the Bronx. He walks up to us. He's like, you guys shouldn't be here. And my dad's like, what do you mean? We're going the right way on my GPS. And he's like, no, I would like call a cab or something before you walk through this neighborhood. My dad still had no idea why. Later on, he told me it's because we would have gotten killed or mugged. So
it's crazy.
I guess we weren't the intimidating figures we thought we were.
It's so surreal just throwing up a hand for a cab. Like, there's cabs all over the place. Yeah. It's so different from here. I don't know. We took maybe one or two Ubers, like, from the airport. But as soon as we were there, the abundance of cabs is just hard not to just hop in one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a fun trip. Got to see Fallon. I would love to go back to New York. I don't think I will anytime soon, but definitely. I'd like to go to one of the cheaper places in Asia. I know you can really push your penny pretty well there. I don't know too much about Hong Kong, but I know, like, hit like a full moon party or something like that would be pretty cool. I don't know when I'd ever have the opportunity to do that, because I don't want to do it for like a month probably to see everything and do like kind of the hiking, but. Yeah, that's kind of on my radar. I know, Jack, you said Amsterdam when we were talking to Feist on a couple pods ago. But, yeah, pretty exciting. I know we kind of digested all that travel stuff. Do you want to kind of go to some more relevant topics that came up recently? I want to throw it off to you, Jack, to talk about these guys.
We can hit that. Anyone see Drake's house? Has anyone seen it?
I feel like Jimmy has an opinion on that for sure.
I just like, I was just blown away, and I have a lot of just like weird thoughts about it. And like, it's just baffling that a guy owns that and like can just live there. And I've just, I don't know. It's just so weird to me. I feel like I wouldn't be comfortable in it either.
Yeah, honestly, like I didn't see all the pictures. I only saw like the basketball court, and like that thing's pretty luxurious, I must say. It's pretty wild. Like, the lighting there is just absolutely insane, but
it looks like a hotel.
Yeah, I mean, it does.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it's lived in. I still can't
live there. Fuck, man.
I mean, it probably never is lived in because he's never home, but
I know, like, it's just such a weird, like, you couldn't, like, kick back in that house and just be caught. I'd be so worried about ruining everything.
It's got those OVO colors everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
He lives his brand.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, yeah,
I can't see him having his kid over there very often.
Yeah.
You think his kid's ever seen that?
Where's the playpen? This looks sick, though. The basketball court is so cool.
Yeah.
Imagine. I literally can't.
The one hallway with all the jerseys and, like, I think his Grammys are in there. He's got a bunch of like old retro jerseys, like game worn shit, game worn shoes, basketballs and shit. That's a really cool hallway, but like, there's no.
How many houses do you think he has?
Jeez, oh, so many.
Do you think he has more than 10 houses?
I'd say like that'd be the cap. I'd say he's got at least 5.
So where do you think they are?
Probably got a couple in California, I'd imagine. LA, Beverly Hills area. He's got one in Toronto, right?
He's got a Calabasas one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that. He's like a compound there. I think he has one like Miami. That's probably another compound.
Yeah.
He's got one. I think he has one in like most places, but like that one is just like the one in Toronto is just like specifically. It's just like, I don't know. First of all, he's a shoes in the house guy, which is, I don't like that. But I guess yeah, it's very American of him. It looks all just like smooth floors. You probably just slip if you even walked in that house. I don't know. I just couldn't imagine living in that size house.
Doesn't look too homey, but I mean, it's a beautiful piece of architecture.
I wonder if he's ever home alone. If he's ever been in that house alone.
Like, imagine just, he wakes up like home alone like
style. He's always got his boys there, so I feel like it's just like a mini hotel. He's got probably 500 guest rooms. Whoever's going on the next song. It's pretty cool. What was the other thing you had there, Jay?
I was said something I was looking forward to. I got disappointed. I know, I don't know if he's still into it, but James, I know you were in the UFC and like keeping up to date with all like the pay-per-views and all the fighters and all that. The most recent one just got canceled. Dana White almost bought in the most super villain move. He almost bought an island to host fights.
I
thought that was sick though. But then they canceled it for a reason that I was just like, that makes actually, I never actually thought of that. That would just completely promote getting around these laws that are in place.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I was really surprised that they're even going to go through with the fights. Yeah. To be honest, like,
yeah,
I mean, he was sweet card, but like,
oh, it can't wait. Amazing.
Yeah,
you can't. That's why I was really like that. It just like promotes like the rich getting whatever they want, and the poor not. So I feel like the government can't let anything like that happen.
Well, but a top executive at Disney basically said, don't do this, man. Like, I don't know if you're gonna personally lose money if this gets canceled, but that's the way you're acting. But don't do it. It's gonna promote that exact thing, like people just thinking they can get away with state regulations, because it would have been like tribal law if they bought a fucking island. I think he said they're still gonna do it after all this. Like, they want to host island fights, but I think eventually
like
when
the
it's
fire
like,
fest.
I mean, that's what all the memes have been basically. I think he's probably gonna get Ja Rule to host it, but fuck. I just thought it would have been sick, but then I realized how bad it would have been.
Like, have you guys watched any of these old sporting things? Like, I'm not much of like a historical guy. If I know what happens with the game, I don't want to really watch it again. Except maybe like with the exception of the Raptors, like final like celebrations and shit like that. That's different. But I don't know. That's the only thing on TV. Like, I saw a schedule on TSN today, and it was like probably 20 different old sports. I don't know. I just don't like that stuff. So if like that UFC match actually happened, the viewership would just be, I couldn't even imagine how many people would watch.
Insane.
It would just smash totals. Because it's like the only live thing that's happening.
Yeah. Well, I think 2 weeks ago was WrestleMania, and that had, I saw the score posted something, and it was up like 97% of like social media interactions.
That's pretty wild.
Because it's the only thing. People were just like, fuck, I'll fucking pay for that. I don't care anymore. Like, I'll watch anything at this point.
Exactly. So, Jimmy, we're kind of getting close to the end. This is where we kind of like to hand it off to the guest to kind of hit us with any questions, any stories you have, or any topics you want to talk about. Anything on the mind that you wanted to bring up when you got on the mic?
Might ask you guys, like, you know, where do you think like some future directions of the podcast are going and stuff like that. I mean, I personally enjoy listening to it, and you know, it's fun hearing some stories from some people I know and stuff like that. So you guys have any goals with the podcast or anything?
You want me to kick it off, Jack, or you want to hit it first? What's
you can
your goals
hit it first. You can
okay
touch this.
I think something we've talked about for a while is, like, no offense, James, and to everyone else who's been on, but we kind of want to get bit of like more high profile guests on that kind of bring more people in to watch. Yes, so they kind of, we want to get, I don't know if it's going to be like some sort of sporting figure, some kind of B-list celebrity we've talked
about. The entire cast of Life with Derek.
Yeah. Just somebody.
That's the, goal. That's the end game
stories,
for us.
Some stories that like Derek Venturi, I'm not involved with. You know what I mean? Like just yeah. That's kind of the goal is to start there with some guests. That's probably my biggest thing. I don't know about you, Jay.
Yeah, I would pretty much kind of say the same thing. I kind of always thought like when we have our friends on, it's like a cool way to get stories, but it's also like I've always kind of saw it as like practice for us when we actually get guests, like learning how to kind of interact and like set up questions and bounce back off of them. So I kind of like the preparation we kind of get from these. But yeah, I would say getting guests on and just trying to grow this thing as big as we can get.
It's just like going to be a lot of DMs in the next. The thing is, we like doing the interviews in person too. It's so much easier.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Easier to DM if we're in person. At least we can see each other, obviously, on Skype. Free ad. But so it makes it a little bit easier than just kind of having it over the phone. But yeah, I think that's kind of what we're thinking. Obviously it's tough with these times. It's not like we can sit down with somebody unless we're like 6 feet away or whatever, but obviously no one's leaving the house, so we're not going to get anything like that. But I think within the next, okay, it's hard to set a goal, but say within the next year, we'd like to get a couple more high profile guests on the podcast for sure.
Yeah. That'd be pretty sweet.
Anything that you are thinking that we should do? Anything that you'd like to see as one of our loyal listeners?
Yeah, I mean, just like, you know, keep doing what you're doing and, you know, refining your craft and stuff like that. And I think you'll be good to go.
I respect it. Anything else? Any other questions?
Yeah, maybe I've sort of... gone on as to what I'm doing recently in terms of like my professional life. What about you guys? I know Thomas is has that bell and Jack's still in school, but any sort of developments recently in that sort of area?
We'll throw it off to you, Jack. What's kind of your goals in the next couple of years?
Well, hopefully once this a lot of the stuff that I've been doing in school is kind of tough to do in this quarantine kind of situation. So a lot of my stuff's been pushed back, so gonna see how that goes. Hopefully, yeah, graduate within the year, start working after that. Kind of just why the typical normal stuff.
Is it very hands-on? Is that why? Yeah, why is it tougher?
Yeah, it's more like all practical stuff, and like you gotta be in the same room as everyone. So it's kind of tough. If anything, like, I mean, I think test the other day, we get invited to a big call. We're all in it, and then eventually he's just like he makes it like completely clear, not an open book thing. And then he just goes, "All right, cool. Do the test." Doesn't check anything, doesn't like screen share with any of us. We don't have to do anything of that. I stuck to only looking up a few. And then, I just did the reasonable thing.
So when you say that, is it like a lot of like, it's computer, like technician? Is that the role that you would take on? So
stuff, yeah.
How do they, so do you just like kind of get around the computer and they're like showing you how to logistically, what does your class look like? Or is it like a lot of studying?
It's mostly just like a studying thing, and then you just show up to a lab, and then you either know it, you don't, and then you kind of just go from there. Luckily, I've known it so far. Yeah, everything's going good.
Nice. For me, I'm just kind of sticking with the job right now. I've got at least another year and a half there, and then I'll see if I'll sign on again or possibly. Yeah, I'm just leaving it open. Like I like what I'm doing right now, so I'm kind of just going with the flow, and then. Outside of work, just always looking to do different entrepreneurial things. I haven't really set on one thing yet specifically, but I've got some things on the go, so that's always fun to kind of keep busy outside of the 9 to 5.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, I'm sort of looking forward to getting out into the professional world as well. I'm jealous of your place in Toronto. I'd really like to spend some more time out in Toronto, so hopefully when this is all over we can get together again.
Yeah, you've been there once. It's kind of tough now. It's just sitting there. It's crazy. Like, it'll probably sit there for, I couldn't even tell you. Like, I'll go back eventually, but it's been completely bare for almost 3 weeks now because my roommate Reese has gone home too. So it's weird that the house is still sitting there by itself.
Yeah. There's no McDonald's, Uber Eats bags piling up 15 anymore.
Bags in the bathroom. in the kitchen. Sorry, not the bathroom. All right. On that note, I think we're good to close it off. If you're good, James.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pleasure. Good,
Jack. Yeah, it was awesome to have you on. You told some really funny stories kind of about your Europe trip. You also told some great stories about your kind of passion for art and stuff like that. as well as what you're doing in the quarantine. So I think it's kind of good for people to hear different perspectives, and you really shared that today. So thanks for coming on.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Anytime.
Coming on.
Next episode.
Yeah, right on.
Take it easy. Thanks for listening. Peace.